Okay, so we had the case. This time we're going to clarify everything this week and summarize where we're halting. We had the case of somebody selling his property. He has a contract, and in it has a clause that if you have any hafarat chozeh, then there's going to be a penalty of 10%, which is called asmachta, which normally, unless you write the right lashonis in it, you cannot enforce in Beis Din, because you can say, I never meant it, never thought it ever happened, never really committed to it, I'm not chayav to pay because asmachta, I don't mean it. So the Chazon Ish points out, as we'll over here straight away, and say, V'ein loma, and don't suggest, kiven de mahani medini denem. Don't suggest it sits in the eyes of the law, the land. Ein da'at l'asmachta, that they're for sure, they're going to interpret that clause, that you mean it, and they're going to enforce it, and everyone understands that this is enforceable in the eyes of the courts. Don't say, ein da'at l'asmachta. Don't say, well, if the law of the land says it's valid, then of course you mean it. And then, can you know, you obviously meant it, not just as a joke. I've never heard that because you could be victorious in your claim in their courts and their systems and their halakhas, that will get round the concept I didn't mean it. Just because there's a law of land, doesn't make you have gemuris das, doesn't make you have gemuris das that you meant it. Of course not. Given shame and shalom on the courts, because you're not allowed to go to their courts, so you don't relate to them. It doesn't matter what they write, it doesn't matter what laws they have, it doesn't make you have now gemuris das because of their laws. Okay.
So what if you're in a place where you know that well people, even if it's also...
Okay. Very good. So Chazon Ish says, just because there's a law of the land out there that says we recognize such a clause that there's 10% penalty, the law of the land doesn't mean that you now mean it. No, just as before the law of the land, I didn't mean it because I thought the knas will never happen. So also now, just because this law of land doesn't make me mean it. Law of land doesn't make me mean it. On the other hand, the Achrayim want to say that Rav Moshe argues on this. Why? Because Rav Moshe said, number one, Poshut, Sha'af v'mechiyus kakos v'batim. It's Poshut, when you're selling property, lo niklam v'mezisenu, you can't acquire or sell it. You can't use the transactions which the Torah halacha gives you, because the laws of the land doesn't recognize it. Because no one does anything unless it fits with the laws of the land, and the laws of the land is what makes his mind tick. Whatever the law says, that's what his mind works on. The law says, this is what you have to do. Oh, I only have gemuris das, whatever the law of the land says. So we see that it seems to be opposite on the face of things. It seems to be opposite Ramosha to Chazon Ish. Ramosha says person's mind works according to what the law says. The law says then he has proper gemuris das, because that's what the law says. So just as the law says you can only acquire property during this mechanism and otherwise you don't, so any other mechanism you don't mean it. So also the law of land says that a penalty is recognized because you wrote it, so when you write it you really mean it, because that's what the law of the land says. Where's the law of land? That's my mind. Whereas for Chazon Ish is the opposite. Well, your mind doesn't get dictated what the law says. Because of Adam's law out, you still don't mean it. So it doesn't matter if the law says you mean it, I don't mean it. And just because the law says it doesn't make my mind change the mind. So therefore, the law of the land says, you, when you write this penalty, you mean it. No, I still don't mean it. The law of the land says that you can only acquire property through their mechanisms and not through the Torah. No, I don't care what the law of the land says. I still mean I'm selling it because the Torah says I can sell it like this. It doesn't matter what the law of the land says. So it seems to be a machlokas, where the law of the land can define what your brain is. Chazon Ish and Ramosh. Okay. So now let's start our case this week. It may seem similar to a case we discussed last week, but it's different. And we'll see whether there's a different halacha on it. Someone in Beitar has done an illegal extension to his property by digging a chalal. Yeah. And he's made a nice dira underneath that, his apartment. Is it legal, Dan? Does the land registry realize it exists? Okay.
Well, according to what we learned previously, it's actually Gezel, no?
That's right.
Okay.
And what he does, he sells it. He sells it to... What?
By himself.
He keeps his property. Now he's selling the one underneath, which he created, which is not officially registered as existing. Okay. So there he goes. He sends it to a nice Chosum and Kala, just got married, at a nice price, not the market price of it, the low market price, because it's not recognized. And they write a contract to the for the fact that he's got a contract. Okay. They move in.
Maisa
Shahaya. I was there.
Oh, really?
You bought it?
No. I was one of the Zionists.
Okay.
And they move in, the Chosum and Kala. After 2 years, water starts leaking in from the mepeset of the original owner above, who sold it to the Chosum and Kala downstairs.
He sold it.
Yeah. Affordable price for the Chosum and Kala. Leaks start going in, and they take them to Basin. The ones downstairs. The Chosum and Kala take the guy upstairs to Basin. Come to Basin.
Well, the leaks are coming from the apartment of the seller.
Yes. Okay. Comes to Basin and say, you have to fix it.
Who has to fix it?
You.
The seller? Or
the seller.
Oh, the seller. Okay.
Upstairs have to fix this leak.
Well, it's not about you, the seller. Even if it's not a seller.
Fine. So what does the seller say back? So he comes up with an interesting time. Says like, no, I don't. Why not? Because the property doesn't belong to you. Downstairs. Why, you sold it to me? Yeah, I sold it to you. But it wasn't valid sale. Not valid sale.
You want to give the money back?
I'll give the money back.
Oh, really?
So a few years later, I can sell it for more. I'll give the money back. Okay. So then, now we have to decide whether it's valid sale or not valid sale. Does the law of the land recognize this sale? No, it doesn't. The law of the land doesn't recognize this sale. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, we would say, doesn't recognize the sale. A person doesn't have to give me the stars unless the land recognize such a sale. You can't sell.
Well, Moshe says it was in the Medino Seinu.
Yeah?
He's talking about America.
Yes?
Not Beitar.
It doesn't matter.
It makes a big difference. No. The Beitar, they don't care about the.
No. It says, no smichas das and buying fixed property.
The United States. That's
no.
How people are.
No,
are
Jews are Jews wherever they are.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even.
We'll carry on. We'll carry on. So, according to Rav Moshe, maybe he's got a right. They never really sold it because they didn't follow the mechanics of the Medina. And if you don't follow the mechanics in it, you don't mean it. Doesn't matter what you write, you don't mean it. So let's bring it to a but according to Chazon Ish not. Okay? According to Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe,
but look at this. How could they have some money back?
I took your money.
Because he's got this to sell anyway, so what's he asking money back for? For something he didn't
sell? No, he sold it. And
he said he didn't
sell it. No, he said he sold it and it doesn't work. So therefore it doesn't work. It's mine. And I need to give your money back. Here. I had that interest-free loan for two years.
And it's not his to sell. He can't have it. It's not his. So he needs to give him the money back. He can't ask for the money back.
No, it's mine.
It's not his. It's not his to sell. That's what he's saying.
No, he's not saying it's his to sell. It is mine, but I didn't sell it properly because the sale's not recognised.
No, he didn't sell it properly because it's not his to sell. Otherwise, he could sell it.
No. What's Rav Moshe saying? Rav Moshe says when it is yours, you have to only transfer out of yours if you use the mechanics.
But Rav Moshe's not talking about his case. But
we're using Rav Moshe.
Where he's had something to sell, but this still doesn't work.
But this belongs
but
to him.
If it's not his to sell, for sure it doesn't work.
It does belong. It is his to sell.
It's not his.
It does.
No right
it's not recognized in the Medina. Fine, but it's his.
How is it?
Why is it his? Who does it belong to?
Nobody has no right to do it.
No, not true. It belongs to everybody in the building.
Wants everybody in the building.
And he got permission to from everybody in the building to take control of it.
Yeah.
Yes, so therefore it belongs to him. Yes, it does. According to the Medina as well, it belongs to everybody. Yes, it does.
What belongs to the building is what exists, not what doesn't.
No, not true. Not true. Not true. Should I tell him what's not true?
It wasn't a halal. He built it.
That's called halal.
Yeah, halal.
That's called halal.
Halal is something that is there. It's closed off.
No, it's not.
That's not halal.
No, you don't know law. Law of the land. Forget that to halacha. Law of the land says that belongs to the whole building. And he went to all the members of the building and he got their rights. Right?
Did he?
Yes.
How did he manage that?
Yeah. Right, what was his Kenya?
We'll see that. That's not his son. Fine. So, therefore,
Reka,
the and he's represented the whole building. Okay, so we represent the building. They said you could do it. Like, yeah, the guy there, it's not his for sure. So, therefore, I took your money, it's not yours. Well, why? Because I didn't sell it to either. Because.
Do you know how many guys in debt built heroes on the roof and sold them? Dozens and dozens and dozens.
Okay.
Those are all illegal.
Same thing. Shut up.
Thank you. Okay. So Chora, it should be totally on Rav Moshe and Chazanish, wherever you can sell something, ignoring the mechanics of the medina. Let's try and bring a riot to one of the sides. From a Gemara, Baba Basu, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, number 2. Nisse over Rochovim Hari Hein Kamidma. Sometimes property that belongs to a goy is hefka, like a midbar. Call a master of Zochem, and if you take over it, whoever takes over it, he becomes the owner. My tamo, what's such a case? When does it exist, such a scenario? Ovid kochovim michimota zuzuli odes taikle. A goy sells his house, and as soon as you give money to the goy, as far as halacha goes, transactions between the goy and Yisrael, as soon as you give money to the goy says, I've got what I want, I'm not interested in this property anymore. He's given up his rights on this property. But Yisrael, lo koni ad-matishtali yotu, but halacha says, Yisrael can only take acquisition of a property from a goy with a document. So what he's done, he's given money. The goy, when he gets his money, says, I'm out of here. Which means he's given up his rights over here. The Yid hasn't yet taken ownership because he can only take ownership if he's got a shtar and he hasn't yet kept the shtar. Harika Midbar. At that mid stage, it's now a hefka stage. The kola mazik mehem zogvem. If somebody jumps in and does a chin in chazoka, Shimon down the road jumps in, he takes ownership of it. So Reuben gave money. That made the goy give up his rights. Reuben hasn't yet taken rights over because he can only do it with a shtar or chazoka, and he hasn't done that. And then comes Shimon running in, makes a chazoka, and he does a kinyan on hefka, which works on chazoka, and therefore he takes ownership. Yeah, he gets his, maybe Reuben can get his money back. He can get now his money back from Shimon. Maybe he can do more. It's a discussion with Shimon. Okay. So then, the main part of the Gemara we want to discuss is the next slide. Omelei Abai le Rabbi Yosef. So Abai says to Rabbi Yosef, Mi Omer Shmuel Hochi? How can you say, Shmuel would never say such a thing, because you're quoting this in the name of Shmuel. Shmuel would never say such a thing. How much? Why? Because Shmuel says, Dinner to Malchus Dinner. Shmuel holds, the law of the land is law. Amalka Omer, and the law, what does it say in this case? Lo nikde ara ella bigres. Land doesn't transfer unless you have documents. And since that's the law of the land, so therefore no transfer takes place until there's documents. So why is that kasha? Why is that kasha? Why doesn't, therefore, if the law of the land says transfer only takes place when there's documents? Fine, what's about kasha? You give the money to the goy, he's out of the picture, you haven't etched a quiet, you only quiet the document, that's the law of the land.
So it still belongs to the goy. Why does it still belong to the goy?
The goy law says it still belongs to the goy. It's not a hefta. But if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, he says a different pshat, which is relevant to us. Yesh the pirish. Some explain what's pshat over here. Shekiv and shekach, since that's the law of the land, din ha-melech that no transfer takes place unless you have a document. Ein ha-goy goma umestalik ad sheyikta la-seshtar. Therefore, the goy will not, even once he's got the money, he will not make it hefker until he's got a document. Why? Because he has no gemira stas. Because his gemira stas is dictated by the law of the land.
But that has nothing to do with
the law of the land. Let's over here. We'll see when we get into real terms. Yeah. So he's saying, the God is saying, because there's a law in the land, people don't have gemira stas unless you follow the law of the land. Now, whose words fit in with that statement?
Ramosha?
We got a Gemara. It says, like Ramosha. Now, Ramosha says, law of the land dictates how the mind works. Not like the Chazon. Oh, so if so, then we got a fairish riot to Ramosha, and if you want to reply to our case, then Taki hasn't sold it, because the law of the land doesn't recognize this halal ever existing, so you can't sell it either. Got Gomorrah supporting it. Okay. We'll go at the end. We have to answer this according to the Chazon Ish somehow. We'll see how we can answer it. So now let's move to a famous Shaila, a discussion amongst the Poskim, and also a topic related to what we're discussing. Just taking a little aspect of it, because we're not concentrating on that. I have a whole different shiurim on that. But we're going to discuss this one. There's such a thing in halacha which is discussed amongst the poskim called hetzer mechira. What's hetzer mechira? You can sell chometz, but that's not what we're discussing. You can sell your bachor to get out of doing pigeon bachor by to a goy. That's not what we're discussing. That also comes under the concept of hetzer mechira. The hetzer mechira is the famous one. Of course, the biggest balag adam is so called shmita. So, there's a suggestion out there. You can go avoid problems with Shmita. How do you do it? How can you avoid problems with Shmita? Called Hetzer Mechira. What do? You go and sell the whole of Eretz Yisrael to the goy. It's no longer Eretz Yisrael.
That doesn't work.
Right? Well, we'll see. A few people don't hold this works. We'll see. The different Lashonis over here. We're going to see why.
No, the Chazon Ish holds that even if the goy owns it, it's still out to get Shmita.
That's a different thing. Even goyish land in Eretz Yisrael has got kedusha shvus. Fine. Even if you don't hold by that, it doesn't work. Does it work or not? Okay. So Sherman Zalman Orbach, that's how he says, you know what? It doesn't make sense to work in its simple form unless you do lots of things to it. What's the simple form? Selling the land to the goy doesn't work. Why? Says with Moshe Fasha number 3. Nefila is dati. She'ein la hachshik lavzmi says. You can't avoid the facts on the ground. You can't avoid the facts on the ground. Aposhet adova. It's clear to me. Vazmanenu vadai. For sure nowadays. Ein alakeach somech das. No one, the goy, does not rely the klal on the sale. He doesn't think the sale is a proper sale. Calls man shlo nishim by mecha b'tabu. If you're not going to register this sale in Tabu, that he owns it, he's not going to say this sale is a proper sale. Because the law of the land says we don't recognize sales unless it's in Tabu. So if you don't recognize unless it's in Tabu, the boy says, well, you're not giving me something Tabu. I don't think you're selling me anything. You have no gemira stas to buy it in the first place. I feel in Yom HaKadosh to someone's house. Even the boy says, yeah, I do rely on it. Anan Sadi, the Shakri, come a Shakri, Lisa. We got Anan Sadi, for sure he's lying. He's for sure lying. He has no smichas das, because the law of the land detects how the divine thinks, and the law of the land doesn't recognize the cell because it's not in Tabu.
So Shlomo Zalman wouldn't hold him if he was coming to either?
No, that we'll see in the second ends why Mechir Thomas is different. There, for some it's Metalsin, it's not Kaka. Kaka is the concept of Tabu.
So we don't need the same Gemir Das?
No, Gemir Das is recognized. What the law of the land recognizes sale of Metalsin, even without Tabu. You don't need Tabu by selling of commerce.
So even though we know the guy isn't really buying the chametz because that's the law of the land is enforceable, then we consider
the law of the land recognizes the sale of the chametz. The law of the land recognizes the sale of the chametz. So what the Ramosha is saying is, if you make a sale which the law of the land doesn't recognize, your mind says, you're not following the land, I have no gemirah. So who's that lashon also fit in? Again, that fits in Ramosha. As you brought up the Chazanish shouldn't be saying this by Hetzer Mechira. Because he said, I don't care what the law of the land says. My mind is not dictated by the law of the land. So what does the Chazanish say by the Hetzer Mechira? He says, different Lashon. If you look at number four, he says a different way. You know, it doesn't work. Not because your mind doesn't rely. You know, your mind is not dictated by the law, but it still doesn't work. Why? Because you didn't give it tabu. Oh, so what does that mean? So if the goy then comes around and says, I want to fulfill the deal, the contract, I want to enforce it. I want to enforce it. If the goy says that, we can simply say to him, what do you mean? You want to enforce it? Okay, let's see if it's enforceable. According to the secular law, which you're bound by because you're goy, according to secular law, according to secular law doesn't recognize tabu, and the goy is bound by secular law. I, as a Jew, is not bound to it, but when I'm dealing with a goy, I can say two heads of the coin. I can say whatever is beneficial to me in dealing with a goy, I can do. If the halacha is beneficial for me to beat the goy in the din Torah, I can use the halacha. If the it's beneficial to me to use the secular law to beat the goy, I can also use the secular law. Because when you're using the goy, there's a special halacha brought down in Baba Kama that the goy, you can use either part, whatever gives you the best deal with the goy. So therefore, what's the chassid is saying? He says, there is smicha stuff. The goy was thinking that he bought it. Because law of the land doesn't dictate how your mind thinks, whether you rely on it, doesn't. But you can win on the technicality. How can you win on the technicality, say that the sale's not valid? Because since there is a merechet which says it's not valid, and the goy is bound by that merechet, I can choose that merechet to knock him out. So therefore, the Chazanish Shutosa, Chazanish says, I can't say like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that the whole sale's not valid, because everyone's joking here, because everyone only his mind is fitting with the law. No, I don't care about the law. Your mind is not dictated by law. But I can say it's not valid for different reasons. I can just use the merechets of the goyish secular law to apply it to a goy. Knock him out. For different reasons, I knock him out. So Cousin Ish is the Shadosan. But now we've proven that not only Rav Moshe Feinstein says that your mind is dictated according to the secular law. That's how your mind thinks. But now we're saying even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach held that your mind is dictated by the secular law. And we even got Gemara supporting such a concept in Baba Basra. So things are now piling up heavily on the sides of saying that Taka, there's no Gemara Das unless you follow the Merechet, how the law of the land sees things work. So now we're going to move to our fourth case today, which also deals with mind control and what controls your minds. Also, that's the whole topic today. What does secular law control your mind, how your mind thinks? Yeah. So now let's move to the next topic, which also has something. There is a nosa called writing wills. A secular will, halakhically, should not work. Why? Because the secular will, as we learned in our shiur, has a problem, a big problem in halakha. What does it say? That doesn't work in halakha.
With the donors,
No. Well, that's it. It says, after death, I bequeath, I give over after death my possessions to Yanu, who may not be the Yosh.
You don't have any possessions after death to bequeath.
But when you're dead, according to Halacha, you can't do anything with it. Because you say, after death, I decide. You're not decide. When you die, that's it. The Torah decides. So a will is not valid. Secular will is not valid in Halacha. It's too late. You have to give everything in your life. But there is a Chiddush Shulchan Aruch. Halacha brought down the Shulchan Aruch, which Chaim Oza wants to use to say that maybe secular wills can be valid according to Halacha. Okay.
Secular wills or secular wills?
Secular wills. Now, what's the type of concept that may make it valid? Says the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Nun Beis, number 5 on your text. There's Halacha, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei HaMeis. The mitzvah to listen to the words of the person who died. I feel a borish shesiva v'meis. Even if he's very healthy, when he gave out his instructions, he's healthy. But then he dies. There's still a mitzvah to listen to those words. But that mitzvah, which is a mitzvah on the yorshim, it's a mitzvah on the people who inherit to listen to those words. Those mitzvah is only applicable. Only if the healthy person before he died gave over those possessions in trust to a third party and said, look, you're in control now of the possessions. You want, after death, this is what I want to happen. So you've given it over to a third party and you gave instructions after death. Then there's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis. In such case,
I don't own them anymore.
You own them, you just gave them over in trust to somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Trust. Now, why do you need to give it in trust to somebody else to say Mitzvah Kaimes? Mitzvah Kaimes, why can't you just simply say Mitzvah Kaimes? It's like, this is what the deaf guy, person who dies, who was Nifta, wanted. It's a mitzvah. Why does he have to also give it to a third person in trust at the time of his instruction? Why does he have to do that? Mr. Kaiserbeis should be Mr. Kaiserbeis. But it doesn't matter if somebody owes it. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah of whoever. Even Mitzvah Kaiserbeis, what does Mr. Kaiserbeis mean? When he dies, it automatically goes to the people who are supposed to Yerushalayim and Tzavah, all the boys. But now they have a mitzvah to follow the dead person's, the Nifter's instructions, because he told us what he wanted. So, if so, it goes to them, but they got a mitzvah to just get it dish out as a mitzvah, Shabbat, and we force them to do mitzvahs. Yeah?
We force them to do
a mitzvah. So why do you have to, at this time of giving instructions, give it to a third party? Just say, this is my instructions, a piece of paper, have this mitzvah because of my instructions. Why do you have to give it to a third party at the time of instructions? Why? Why is that necessary?
Demonstrate his seriousness.
Ah! So the Mepharshim explained, because we don't know if he meant it or he didn't mean it. He doesn't know. Maybe he doesn't have Gemara's daf. Maybe he doesn't really mean it, even though he writes it on paper. We only see he really means it if he not only writes the piece of paper, but he even puts all his possessions in trust to third party, then he really means it. He means it. So the point of putting it to third party is to show that he meant it. Right? Okay, so most people do wills nowadays, but they just write wills. They don't put in third party trust. Yeah? So, Lachor, you're missing this factor. So, Lachor, we can't use this mechanic to help the secular will working. Lachor, we can't do it.
Well, a lot of people give it to their attorney to hold.
All their possessions at the time when they write the will, they give all the possessions over to the attorney to hold? No.
No, no, they give the will.
Wills, possessions. Yes, all his estates have to be held in trust at the time of giving out his instructions to show that he meant it. Yeah, that doesn't usually happen. But Rav Chaim also wants to use some genius over here, Binky, to say, we have it here. Where do we have it? No, you didn't do it. No, we have it. How can we have it? You didn't do it. No, we do have it. No? Got any suggestions? What the genius over here that suggests is that he does have that requirement?
Is the law of the land says it's quite the word,
Nearly, but not yet. Nearly. Very nearly. Oh, we'll read it inside. Just come out that. Says Reb Chaim Moser. In Achiez, it says that. Tehecha Shemisha Masaba Meis Litano, who Muchsik, Matam Dine Demachusa. When a person gives instructions in his secular will, and now the beneficiaries, they can take those instructions, and as far as the law of the land is, they are considered holding on to those properties. Because all they have to do is show these documents to the secular authorities. Therefore, automatically, since when you write a will, you know that this will is dangerous. That a person who's got this will in their hands can enforce it. So you don't need to physically put the possessions in a third party when you give instructions, because nowadays, automatically, with the will itself, Ki'ilu say, I definitely mean it. Why? Because he can take this document and enforce it in the court. So for sure it's a dangerous document. I definitely mean it. I'm not joking. I wouldn't give out a document like this if I was joking. Because it's too dangerous. So you don't need the physical property of giving a third party. Can you just replace nowadays with the fact that this document can be enforced in the court and, whether you like it or not, be taken away to those people. So obviously you meant it.
You would say that anywhere that a document becomes dangerous once it's signed. Like the case of the 10% penalty.
Yeah. Only if you're allowed to go to court.
No, didn't you have to be allowed to?
Yeah.
I mean, it's circular reasoning here. No one said you could take them to court for this.
This is not an instance maybe to go to court. Just
why?
To get, because they're not having it in turn.
No, but it's circular reasoning.
All I'm saying is just giving a stamp to this document.
No, I understand, but they, he's talking
not
about
like the 10%. Exactly.
Well, he's talking about going to court after the guy dies.
Yes, yes. So just to register it.
To register what?
The will. As a valid document.
To register. Yeah, but they can't go to court to sue on the will.
No, they'll sue the will. But once it's registered document,
yeah.
No one will be able to allow to take over possession of the properties without the consent of the beneficiaries. No. The dangerous documents.
No one. What do you know?
The Yoshim won't be able to get hold of the properties then.
Why not?
Because there's a document outside it. It's got nothing to do with it. And the Medina will not allow transfer.
Except for real estate, they can just go and take it physically. You know, don't have it in their possession.
Oh, but real estate, do you agree?
Real estate, maybe.
Says Rav Eliashiv. That's up. Hinei. Benitin Tadon. In our case, where you wrote the secular will. If the person who was writing the will was not religious, and he used a lawyer to write up his will, we can assume, since he was not religious, he meant it. Because as far as the non-religious guy thinks, he thinks this is going to work. He doesn't know what Torah law is, doesn't recognize Torah law, doesn't understand Torah law. He thinks this is how to do the will, so when he writes it, for sure he means it. Because he thinks that's all he needs to do. Yesh, Malkum, Nasrat, Achiz, only by irreligious Jew. It's their reason to say that Achiez's Peshat is good. Haigavna ain't Sofisho. Only by irreligious Jew who doesn't know about Torah, who doesn't know about the Merechet, and he writes a will in such a fashion that he thinks he has Gemius Das, that this works. That's what he thinks, this works. So for sure he means it. If he means it, then you've got Mitzlakai Zibremes.
But even most religious Jews.
Yeah, Mitzlakai Zibremes.
Even most religious Jews.
Yeah, so let's speak it out. I just read it inside. Let's speak it out. Rav Moshe says, I'm willing to accept the sorrow of the Achiezer harshly. When is it? When the person who's writing it doesn't realize or appreciate or hold of the Torah God, and thinks this is the only method that works, this is what really works. So therefore when he writes it, that's it, he means it. But a religious person who knows there's something called Torah, therefore since he knows something is called Torah, Therefore, even when he writes this piece of paper, he knows that if it works, it's valid as much as the Torah recognizes it. If the Torah doesn't recognize it, then he doesn't mean it. Yeah? So therefore, a religious person writing a secular will not be valid. Because it may not have Gemara's das, and there's an that it doesn't have Gemara's because he doesn't want to be dictated by the law of the land. He wants to be dictated by halacha. That's what religious Jew does. He wants to be dictated by halacha. If halacha says this is no good, then you say this is what I intend to do. I want to do, but I haven't yet done it. That's all it means, this paper. Therefore, I haven't yet done it, so there's no mitzvah to remiss. Yeah, I haven't really made up my mind. If I really want to make up mind, then I'll go to the halacha and follow what the halacha tells me. Until then, this is on the way, but I haven't yet made a final decision. Because the religious Jew says, I am not interested in what the secular law interprets. It doesn't define my mind. The secular law does not define my life. What defines mine is halachic law. And halachic law says that this is not yet valid. So therefore, it's not something yet, I mean. By secular Jew, yeah, he doesn't realize of the flowers and the records of halacha over there. So of course he definitely means it, and therefore willing to set on property, non-movable items that you have gemiras das, and such a thing that this is definitely going to, in the hands and be controlled by the secular law and go to the places where this
So therefore
he's saying halachically that he's making now a distinction. A secular Jew, his mind is defined what the secular law says, but a religious Jew's mind is not defined what the secular law says. So now we've got a third stage. Up to now we've been saying two extremes. Secular law defines how your mind works, says promotion, yes. Doesn't matter whether you're religious or not. Secular law defines your mind. Says Rachazanish, doesn't matter, it doesn't define your mind. Whether you're secular Jew, goy, it doesn't define your mind, says your cousin. Comes along, whether the Asher of a bird in the middle. If you're religious, secular law doesn't define how your mind thinks. If you're not religious, then the secular law does define what your mind thinks.
What if you are religious and you are of the opinion that Israeli courts are not a cause to Akum? But you have a whole segment of society like that.
Then you may be defined as irreligious.
Why?
Maybe you're defined as the irreligious.
No, that's your halakhic opinion.
Yeah, maybe it's defined as irreligious.
Why is that irreligious?
Maybe that's defined as irreligious.
Why is that defined as irreligious?
In the eyes of Rav Yashin, it's defined as because it's wrong. There's no opinion according to Rav Yashin. There's no halakhic opinion that allows to go to the rabbanim.
That will hold the Israeli courts are not a cause shalakim,
right,
not because they're
fine, but there's many poskim.
That doesn't make them religious. It makes them
Let's go with the poskim. Yeah. Rabbi Yashiv says, yeah, and the Chazanish says, on certain topics, even though there are rabbanim out there arguing over there, I don't recognize it as a sad because it's wrong. It's just wrong.
But that make
they made a mistake. It's a
Tars
Tabar. It's something called a Tars. It's something called a Tars Tabar Mishnah. They hold that as a Tars Tabar Mishnah.
Everybody holds the Tars as a Tars Tabar Mishnah.
Therefore, it's a mistake. So therefore, it's not halacha.
But that doesn't make it religious even as a Tars Tabar Mishnah.
No. So therefore, if you are that person who relies on it, fine. So you're making the person who advised you is in that system, fine. So maybe, yes, I agree with you. Maybe you have gemiras das because of that. But we have to define you as being that type of person who doesn't want to follow halacha.
No, he wants to follow halacha, but he thinks that's the halacha. It's called an honor.
It's part of our mishnah. You think Basra and Chol of his mutter. Fine. But if you say to him, look, if I prove to you, after a mayor of Esther goes up to Shammai, and he says, you know what, it was a Tars of our mission, no stat over there. Do you still want to follow it? Would you want to follow it?
Even if it was Tars Shikol Das, if the mayor of Esther, I wouldn't want to follow it.
The Tars of our mission, he says to him, he says to us, you know what, when I signed this thing, I thought I was following halacha. I want to follow halacha. I thought it was halacha. It was a mistake. So therefore, it's a mistake. So therefore, I have no commitment to ask for a mistake. It's a mistake. But if he says,
we don't say that by any other Kenyan. I mean, all the machlokas in the Shulchan Aruch.
That's what comes out from the Rosh. That's what comes out from the Rosh.
But after Meir Yassim, the guy who's not religious at all, in the Olam Ha'am, wishing that the...
No, because at the time he signed it, he wasn't saying, I want to follow halacha. You're saying he didn't recognize halacha. He doesn't want to follow halacha. But the person fine, but we can't change facts. But the person who was religious was, I want to follow halacha. I think this is halacha. That was a mistake. English person says, I don't want to follow her, not because I don't want to follow her, because I would know I follow her. So I don't recognize, I don't even know there's a concept of halacha out there. So therefore, he's got kamiyus das. And it may change his mind later, but it doesn't help for now. But the person who's religious and cites it, he thinks he's following halacha, and he would like to follow halacha. If he knows it's not halacha, he wouldn't want to follow it.
But does the Rav Yashiv assume that if the person is religious, when he's signing Adas that he wants to follow Allah?
Because it's also not to follow Allah, like
we
said at the beginning.
But why does he assume that that's what the person has in mind?
That he would like to, everything in his life, he's a religious person, would like to fit in with Allah. That's why he's a religious person.
But what if that's simply not the case?
Then he's not really religious then.
Okay.
He's just wearing a suit.
So fine. So
but he can't. Cheskas kashrus.
No, but we...
Our Chazon Ish often uses this.
Cheskas kashrus.
No, cheskas
kashrus.
Cheskas kashrus.
It shouldn't make any difference.
Why?
If you're saying, on the one hand, you have to show that he means it, and now you say he shows that he means it because it can be enforced, but it doesn't matter whether he's religious or not religious, he knows it can be enforced. And if you say, if he knows it anyway, he shouldn't have written it, and if that he's written it, shows he's not religious, it still shouldn't make any difference. It still should be enforced.
No, because Rav Yashiv says, I do not hold of the concept of the Achies. I don't hold of it, the fact that the courts can get hold of it. That's only if you go to the courts.
But
yes, and you use the course. But if no, you have to work the mind works.
No, but it's not.
That's the whole sin. The whole sin is on your mind.
Not going to court. It's dependent on
yes, the mind.
Minds.
Not him. Minds.
He could be as religious minds. As your mind.
Minds. It depends on your minds. Yes, it depends on your minds. It does. The person writing it. The person writing it.
Because he knows. No, that. Yeah. It depends on the person who's going to go to court and say, this is mine. Not the
beneficiary.
Not the person who wrote it out.
No, it's not his possession.
Okay, but he has to show the point. But the point is he needs it because he knows it can be enforced. And
who
knows
it?
The person who wrote it.
The person who's died.
Yes.
Person die says.
Because why?
Why?
Because he knows it can be enforced. And he doesn't know what's in the mind of the people that they're so they're religious and therefore they're going to ignore it.
Fine, so you're saying if he's got irreligious people who are going to benefit from the document.
Irreligious people? No. God, what do you mean?
No.
Look at all the things
like
they do.
We said,
we know what people do. We know it can
again.
Be enforced.
Again,
the same.
Fine. So now let's stop talking, and we'll get back to what the center matters. We've got a cheskas. That person is pretending to be religious. We assume he is religious and wants to follow halacha until proven otherwise. Until he's proven that this is just a false thing, and he's not interested in religion. So he has to prove that with certain actions, and he can do that. And then, if he's such a person, then it doesn't mean anything like that. And he can do that. But until proven otherwise, we're done.
Both.
That's the same. We'll take it into consideration. We take it both into consideration. It does. It does. If the person's not religious, then for sure he means it. It doesn't matter if the beneficiaries are religious. It doesn't matter. Yeah? And if you're saying they both. I agree with you. I agree with you. If the person he's writing to is not religious, also. I agree to. Then he knows that he's going to do something with his documents if he gives it to him. I agree totally. But it depends. But it does depend. If both of them are religious, we assume test discussions. They want to find halacha, whatever halacha says. They may not be they ignorant in the halacha, but they want halacha, and they don't have kamiyus das for anything else. So
and
what?
And if everybody's religious, and
but
what? Why did they write it? Why did they write it?
That's the kasha on the Gemara. So the Gemara says you can write the document that then still not doesn't count until you mishlish mecha. It's a stage. It's getting there. I haven't written my mind. This is the beginning of my mind. That's what it means. Okay. But what it's nogeh to us, we see according to Rav Yashiv that the mind can be dictated by secular law only if you're a secular person. If you're a goy or a secular person, the mind cap will be dictated what the secular law says. But if you're religious, then I agree with the Chazon Ish. Forget about what the secular law. My mind is only whatever the halacha is. Even if I'm ignorant in soccer, I want the halacha. Okay, so it's a middle shit. So now let's go back and see where we can say that that's Rosh Hashanah, that's Rav Yashiv. Now, does Rosh Hashanah, we know Rav Moshe held. You're always dictated by secular law, the mind, whether you're religious or not. We know the Chazon Ish says, you're always not, even a goy is not, says the Chazon Ish. He's not dictated by secular law. And we know this is the middle ground of Rabbi Yashin. Now, we had the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. Which does he hold of? We know that Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach held that the secular law does affect you. But he said it by a goy. And that's even Rabbi Yashin holds that secular law affects the goy's mind. Like when he's buying the land of Israel, he doesn't mean it because it's not registered in Tabor. Now, but we have now proof. Does he hold all the way like Rav Moshe, that even the religious Jew will be affected by secular law? Or does he hold like Rabbi Yashiv, and he holds, no, but when it comes to religious Jew, then I would hold that the secular law does not fit his mind. We want to know what the Shomer Zalman Orbach holds. Which of two opinions out there, Rav Moshe or Rav Yashiv? That's what we want to discover. So, Rav Shomer Zalman Orbach says, by another statement by Hesemit here, he says, in Madani Oretz, number 7, this Yisrael, Mochel Yisrael. But if Yisrael is selling to Yisrael, not so goy. And he's using a document which is not recognized in the laws of the land. According to the law of the land, it's nothing what you're doing. This is Shomer Zalman Orbach, number 7. Ma'isim b'chol yom, halacha merin kein, b'chol bati dinei b'Yisrael, z'kidin b'loshen ivri mar api din Torah. He says, when it's talking about Yisrael to Yisrael, then it doesn't matter if it's not recognized in the secular law. The Torah dictates our lives, and if the Torah says it's a good contraction, it's a good contraction, and it works. So who do we see Rav Shomer Zalman Orbach? Does he go all the way like Rav Moshe, or is he going like Rav Yashiv? There's a difference between the secular mind and a religious person. He's saying like Rav Yashiv as well. It's we're dealing with a goy, then that's dictated by secular law. Yeah, because Kamira starts, the goy is only on secular law. But when it's Yisrael, Yisrael, it doesn't matter. Even the secular law is already, we go with Torah. And that chilek or Rav Yashiv is also Rav Shomer Zalman Orbach. Now, to finish off the equation, we've now got three opinions. Rav Moshe, one extreme, always secular laws defining your minds, even if you're religious. The Chazon Ish, always secular law never define your mind, even a goy. And God, Rav Yashiv and Rav Shomer Zalman Orbach saying the middle ground. Secular person and a goy, they get defined by the secular. But a Jew, always gets mind smitas das, even if it's not registered in the Torah, in the secular law, it's good enough for the Torah, it's good enough for them.
From Jew or any Jew?
He says Yisrael, I assume he means... Someone who understands the concept of halacha. He's not a tinnik shanish.
He means ashtar that's kosher al pi halacha?
Yes, ashtar kosher al pi halacha. Okay. Now, to finish off the equation. So the Chora, according to the Chazon Ish, is never dictated by secular. But there's one occasion where he says that you can destroy the sale because you don't have Gemara stas. And let's see what the Chazon Ish says. He says, Potter and Maita up in Ninka. Yeah? You know what? Chetza Mechira doesn't work. As we already said, it doesn't work, Chazon Ish. Not because you don't have Gemara stas, because you can always choose the Merechet for the Goy, his system. But now he gives two other reasons why it doesn't work. First, Shemoch Ba'adei Shriach Ve'en Shriach Garavir. All Chetza Mechira doesn't work is because it's sold by the Rabbanot, and Rabbanot are acting as agents for the farmers, so they're l'shluchim and got a klal ein shliach devarver. You got a shliach katu and a vera. It's not valid. What vera is an issur to sell Eretz Yisrael to good. It's an issur to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to good. That's what hetzer mechira is. Selling land there is over nisa deraisa. And the ein shliach devarver is not valid.
They do it.
Oh, so they have a big problem with it. And then I have. Originally, they didn't realize this. It was brought up. But then, in the recent years, what they do is they sell just the land, which is enough to give sustenance to the fruits and vegetables. And there's a whole discussion whether that gets around the problem or doesn't get around the problem. Okay, that's how they go. What? They don't land the land of Israel. They land just the surface level of Israel.
Forget about the Rabbanut.
Yeah.
How did Rabbi Khan Spector do it?
Yeah, it was a problem. It was a problem.
He did it.
Yeah, it was a problem. Everyone said it was a problem.
Huh?
It was a problem.
I've heard so. They were two ways to do it. And Rabbi Orbach said in his Sefer Shuvos, he doesn't agree with it. But if Rabbi Herzog said it, you can't criticize people who do it.
Right.
That's what
we're not discussing that, whether we can criticize. We're talking about whether, according to the Chazon Ish, how it works. He's got kashas on it. He's got kashas on it. That's his kasha. So I said how they answer the kasha. They answer the kasha like this. They relate to the kasha. They say it's a problem. They say, we'll get around it. So Rabbi Nut started selling that. Okay. Now, second problem. Mipnei shebelev kol otom she'en kinim be'emes. You know what? When I sell you land, the whole of Eretz Yisrael, obviously I don't mean it. I said the land, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael, I want the land to belong to the Jews. I don't want the land to belong to the Arabs and the Goyim. So obviously I don't mean it. So therefore there's umzut buchel, I don't mean it. Me, the seller, don't mean it. So I'm just doing it because I want to get out of Shemitah. So you don't really mean it. What about Chometz? Chometz, you can say the same thing. They says, Mechiras Chometz, Omen Kadesh, Yav, Valyor, Gobo, Matta. But Mechiras Chometz, because you don't want to be over Issa Chometz, you mean it. You don't mind. Sell the Chometz for 7 days. I definitely mean it.
Well,
I don't want to be over
Chometz. But the Goyim doesn't mean it.
I'm fine, that's the third reason. No, by Chometz he does.
He has no intention of buying $1 billion.
He can. According to the contract, he's obligated. Even second law.
He doesn't care. He's
I can force
he's
him.
He's not going to do it.
But I force him.
How are you going to force him? He doesn't have the money to do it.
I force him. Second
he doesn't have the money.
I'm forcing second.
He lives in a tent in a Bedouin desert somewhere.
That's why they sell to lots. They don't sell to one guy. That's why they sell to lots of guy.
No, they sell to. They used to sell to one.
No. Mechir's comments. They sell to lots of
guy. In the financial world, you can't do that.
Avahocha, b'shul hafkos mitzvahs lo yimka kol ha'oretz nochi. Ato abanoch lo lishma sheshvias velimka kol ha'oretz nochi. What's the difference between chometz? You missed it. What's the difference between chometz and shmita? Chometz, he means it, because otherwise he's over this. I say the same thing. By shmita, he means it, otherwise he's over this. No, he says by shmita, says the Chazon Ish. He can not sell it and still not be over the Issa. He just doesn't sell it and keeps Shmita. But Chometz, you have to sell it. So there, Chometz, he means it. But that's the only way. By Shmita, to avoid the Issa, I can avoid the Issa simply by not selling and keeping Shmita. That's how I can avoid the Issa.
You have to mean it.
So you have to mean it. When you sell something, you have to mean it. Better. The whole story of selling is selling. We'll now discuss any questions or running out of time afterwards. So we have a scenario. No, wait 2 minutes. We'll finish this in 2 minutes. We have now a scenario built up. That even though the Chazon Ish says, whenever you do a transaction, you mean it. And with the goy, he also mentioned I have to say because you can use the secular card against him. Fine. But there are scenarios where you don't mean it, where it's obvious. Under the muck, you don't mean it. What sense? You have some whole events as well. So avoid doing this, you can not sell out Israel and still avoid doing this. Of course you don't mean to sell out Israel, don't give the whole land of Israel to going. Obviously there's under the mukhi, but it's under the mukhi, you don't mean to sell out Israel. So now, let's summarize where we are and raise it to our case. We've got Rav Moshe, who says, your mind, whoever you are, is dictated by secular law. We've got the Chazon Ish says, whoever you are, even a goy, is not dictated by secular law, unless there's an under muchach in the actual story that says you're out of the picture.
Wait, the Chazon Ish says even a goy?
By a het mechir, he only knocked out a het mechir because, not because the goy didn't mean it, but because I can use the secular law against him. That's all I know. Not because he didn't mean it. And we've got Rishon Zalman Ubach and Rabbi Yashiv say, a goy means it because of secular law. A religious Jew means it because the secular law because he's supposed to know better. A religious Jew is not dictated his mind by secular law. Fine. So now let's change the darkness. In Beta, Reuben sells this apartment to Shimon. And he says, it's not a valid sale. Dan says, because it's not recognized by the secular law. So even though we did a halakhic transaction, it's not recognized. So therefore, it's not a proper sale because we don't mean it. So let's go through the opinions. Coins the Chazon Ish. Do you relate to secular law? You don't. You don't relate to secular. So obviously, it's a good sale. According to Shomer Zalman Orbach and Rav Yashiv, when it's two religious Jews, you know what halach is. Do they relate to secular? No, so even according to them, it's a valid sale. We've only got now a problem with Moshe. Rav Moshe says, even if you rega, even religious, people know what halach is. They don't necessarily follow it, they know it. Then we got Rav Moshe. That's the only thing. Rav Moshe says, it doesn't matter who you are, religious or religious. Second law defines your mind. Oh, so it should be that the sale between Reuben and Shimon is not valid. Oh, so it should be. So I'm going to throw you out. a svara, which is mekabel, as halacha between the dayanim. The property in Beitam. Where is it? That was sold. Where is it?
Oh, wow.
In the challah. Okay, size over the green line, it's challah. Okay. Is it recognized in the second law as existing? Does it exist as a property? No. Is it possible to sell it even? If you want to sell it, is it possible to sell it according to second law? Is it possible to sell it according to second law? It's impossible to sell it. So therefore, since it's impossible to sell it, then even Rav Moshe would agree that you can sell it with halacha. When does Rav Moshe say that your mind is dictated by secular law and even if you're religious, that you haven't convinced? That's when you have the secular law ability to sell it. And you don't, so therefore you don't mean it. Because you have the ability and you don't do it, so you don't mean it. But if you don't have the ability at all,
well, you have the ability.
You don't have the ability to sell it secondhand. No, there's no ability.
He could register it and sell it.
Fine,
he bought
no
the money.
No.
He has the ability.
No, no. It's not. No, they wouldn't even recognize it. They would tell him to knock it down.
They would not tell him. They would charge him a penalty, number one. They would charge him
4 years. No, and Dan will say,
and they
will
they'll
fill
it
up. They'll fill it up with earth. That's what they would say. And so therefore, when...
Beitar would not tell
him. Savia. Then, so even Rav Moshe would say that I agree that secular law doesn't find this satisfaction if secular law can't be applied to it, if it doesn't exist, Rav Moshe. If it doesn't exist, then it can be possible, then I agree that it doesn't apply here, and therefore, in such a case, even Rav Moshe would say the transaction is a valid transaction. That's how the base of passing is a valid transaction, and therefore, he has to fix the leak. Okay.
You say you can't transfer ownership unless you have really have the intention to transfer.